another beautiful C-List Villains tonight, a C-List Sunday. We've been off for a little bit, but I just want to welcome everyone. It's Evil Fett, the cosplay guy, and my best friend, Villainous Red, here. We're going to give a great show tonight. We've been off for a while, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Red, how you doing? I heard you were feeling bad, and I'm glad you're feeling better tonight.
Oh, good, bud. We missed half your intro because your mic was still muted. You want to repeat that again, or should we just continue?
Let's go.
All right.
It was a good intro, though, huh?
We did the intro, but we only caught half of it because once the music fades out, and then your mic should come on.
All right, let me do it again. Welcome everybody to another C-List Villains. It's a C-List Sunday. We've been off for a little bit. Me and Villainous Red, and I'm Evil Fett. We're here to talk about everything there is that has been gone in the last 3 weeks. Red's been at Rose City Comic Con, and I've been injured, of course. Everyone knows out there in podcast land. So, Red, let's talk about things. How was Rose City Comic Con?
Perfect. Good. Good job, dude. Good job. Yeah, Rose City was great. We sold roughly 29 grand in books
for the Holy weekend. Smokes, Batman.
So yeah, it was a great weekend. And you could tell the way the comic market is going right now. No one's looking for big books right now at the moment. At least not at our convention. And they were looking for more fillers, more interesting stories. You know, even some of the off publicized stuff, but not on the main Marvel DC Image stuff. Like those really independent publishers that people are looking for.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. even the dope books were selling.
Wow.
I guess there's a story to be read there, other than, you know, the usual TNA. We did sell some slabs. We sold some keys. You know, right off the bat, we sold a Iron Man 1-5, about mid-grade, out the door, 900. So
wow. Because I thought Luke was selling that for 1,000, but it looks like he let it go out for 900. That's a good price.
You gotta set yourself a nice tone in the beginning, right?
Right.
You're looking at about roughly a 3 grand, I guess, investment on the weekend with the booth, the people helping you, food, and transportation, and all the shit that comes with the convention experience. So if we set off our nice pace, I think we're making about roughly under 9,000 a day. So the first day paid off for the whole weekend already.
Well, then congratulations to you and Luke and Lawrence with Comic Capsule.
Oh yeah. These are out now, people. These are out. The website is live.
Hey, Lawrence, I want mine back. You still owe me. Okay.
The website's live. So go get your Comic Capsules. There should be some deals online right now. The Kickstarter is over, and you should be seeing them at your next convention, hopefully. But yeah, these are great.
Yeah, I love them. Convention. I love it.
You could tell. Let's
go for it.
You know, little demo. So it just opens up like Tupperware. You know, locks in, open, close, and just slide out your book if it isn't in there so tight and fits a whole
there
book
it is.
With book and bag and slides back in, close it, and also you can hang it on the my damn light, so there's a little hole right there you can hang it on the wall, self-balancing. It's a nice invention. I wish
you
we had
put a label on it, so you put
there's a label with this as well. And the template is on their website.
Should be on the back of the thing. There it is.
Yeah, it should be in the back of this template here. You'll find it, and you'll be able to download it. It's your typical, your sticky label. That'll go at the top of here, and you can also customize it to however you want. Slides in nice and tight in your short box and your BCW plastic boxes as well.
It's all good for new and Silver Age comic books.
Yeah. Silver Age, however, cannot fit with bag and board, but it can fit in there nice and snug. What's up, Herbs?
How you doing, Herbs? You still got the sniffles. I hear a little bit in your throat still.
It's there. It comes and goes. It just, you know, I ain't dead. At least it's not COVID, but hey. It happens when you get caught, you get in contact with about 10,000, 50,000 people in over a weekend, you know?
It was, Road City was busy, huh?
Yeah, it was very full, very full. And, you know, there'll be some sick people there. So
I heard they also gave the $10,000, costume contest that I entered and came in third, the guy there at Rose City Comic Con. Well, what did you get to see that, or did you hear about that?
I didn't get to. If you heard something about it, because it was on the other side, on the other side of the hall.
Oh, I see.
They totally isolated the cosplayers from us, the vendors.
Oh,
because they had their own little cosplay museum there now.
Oh, really?
Great setup, but we didn't get to see all the naughty cosplayers that we were supposed to see, because they were having their own show.
C-list villains, cultivator of cosplay
and comic culture.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So let's get into it, Red. Let's talk about The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead has had a whole bunch of iterations after their 10-year season dropped. I hate to say it. Oh, there it is.
That's
nice. Right.
Daryl Dixon in the plastic.
I've been a super fan. I've watched everyone. I've seen the spinoffs, Fear, New Hope, Dead City, and now Daryl Dixon. Let me give you some background on this. When Rick stepped away, AMC gave Scott M. Gimple a whole bunch of money. And then he gave that whole bunch of money to Rick, the guy that was Andrew Lincoln. But Andrew Lincoln did not want to take it because he thought he was going to become a big-time movie star in Hollywood, which didn't happen, and COVID didn't help him.
I wouldn't say he wanted to be a big-time star. I think he was just burnt out from playing Rick Grimes. He wanted something different.
Yeah, when you got your hand in the cookie jar, you keep your hand in the cookie jar. That's kind of what I say.
Right. So you can tell by the rest of the cast, even the cast that left and came back, that you know the cookie jar has still ample amount of cookies to be
well,
had.
Well, a spoiler: Rick is back, and Rick will be back with Michonne and on their own spinoff coming up. I think in October or December. But anyways, they gave Norman Reedus the pot of gold and come back and do Daryl, and they were supposed to do Daryl and Carol. Correct. It was supposed to be a spinoff, but I can't forget her name. Her last name is McBride. I think Carol McBride plays Carol. She said no,
and Norman Reedus.
And now it's just Norman Reedus in the quote unquote. It's the Daryl show, and so far I like it a lot better than Dead City. I don't know. We never talked about Dead City, but I guess we can talk a little bit about Dead City. But this episode of the C-List Villains is about Daryl Dixon. So let's talk about it, Red.
Yeah. Well, Dead City, I mean, they. I guess you could say it's many years further ahead from where we left our survivors from, I guess, the events of
Alexandria.
No, more than Alexandria, more of Governor Milton, right? So it's
right
in your head. And so with that, because Herschel, which is Maggie's son, Maggie and Glenn's son, he's already probably
13, 14.
Yeah. When we ended the actual regular show, he was roughly 10 years old, around there. So you could say the age about 5 years, and that's where they bring us towards the Dead City. But with Daryl Dixon, right now the timeline is still kind of iffy. But
yeah,
we did know that after the events of with the Miltons, that Daryl did leave Alexandria to go on a quest first to find Rick Grimes.
To find Rick Grimes, correct.
But you know, then he got sidetracked. And ended up in Europe,
Paris to be exact. are France.
Correct.
I think he lands in Marseille, and they try to make it kind of a little bit of a D-Day thing where he's coming to shore in the first episode.
Good pick up on that. It seemed like that. It was like D-Day, where we see the soldiers climb out of the boats, all getting shot up, and then crawling out of the water, bloodied and battered. We get that with Daryl, with just him on the raft.
Correct.
It was a nice introduction into the new show.
So far, I liked it. It's really good. It's kind of compelling. A whole new thing. If you're not into subtitles, there's a lot of reading, but I don't mind reading. So the little bit of French that is spoken, I think, enhances it, because they are in Paris and Daryl doesn't speak French. So it's a way to keep information away from Daryl, because throughout all the episodes so far, Daryl asks a lot of questions like, what did he say? What did he say?
Right.
What's going on? And stuff like that. So it kind of makes you feel like Daryl's a fish out of water. And that's what he is. He's a fish out of water. He's a redneck from Georgia in France. So that's what they're trying to portray.
That's a good point. And you would think that he would start picking up a little bit of French, but it's still a pretty hard subject to learn on the fly. But it moves the story along. It's I guess you could say it's like when you're watching anime and you don't watch the dubs, you watch the subs.
Right.
Trying to follow the story and you're finding yourself keeping focused on just the letters and not on the actual what's happening on screen, which is a bit annoying, but then at least the explanation is there afterwards that that way it can get you more involved in the storytelling.
So the story goes like this. Daryl comes ashore and he's, again, a fish out of water. And he's trying to find a way back to the States. And he's doing everything he can to, get a boat and get some help to get back to the States. And that's the premise of it starting. Then mayhem starts and the villains come and the zombies come. Again, if you're not really a Walking Dead fan, the zombies in The Walking Dead aren't the main villain. They're more like a typhoon or a hurricane or something else. The main villain is man. And there's a villain in this one who's quite bad. And I say, I don't know if he's a Negan bad, but he is definitely a badass.
I know how evil this man is, but definitely right now, because the story is so fresh, it establishing characters as just whatever happened during the apocalypse and how they end up to be with the way they are right now is what we're getting. And then maybe down the line we'll know what to equate this guy to the other guys in the universe.
Right. Well, he already took a shot in the leg and a shot in the arm, so he's pretty tough because he's walking now without no problem. I figured they would put a limp into him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, was it Daryl or was it somebody else that killed his brother? Because he had,
it was the girl and the father that robbed Daryl. In the first episode that killed his brother. But he thinks it was Daryl. Because Daryl is according to the outsider and he doesn't fit in, so they have to blame it, of course, on the outsider. And the girl blamed it on Daryl too.
So. Right. Well, you've got to start somewhere in order to establish the story, right? I guess everybody has a tragedy, and then either become a hero or you become
a villain.
And that's
just how, like every great comic book.
Mm-hmm. This guy, that's how this guy comes to be, because he thinks Daryl killed his brother, and now he's hunting Daryl down while searching for Daryl around France. I guess it takes a while. We're in episode 5 right now, or 4?
Episode 5, correct.
Tonight is episode 5. So, yeah, episode 4 is when he finally finds Daryl. So that's quick spoiler for you guys. But it takes him that long to find Daryl in order for him to at least start getting contact and and initiate, like, you know, the action, like, you know, this is the guy that killed my brother.
Right. Right. So to give a little bit of the story, there's a child born in a convent outside of Marseille, and his name is Laurent. And Laurent was born to a young woman who was bitten, and she had turned, but she still gave birth to the son. So they kind of make him look either a young Jesus character, or that he's not able to turn because of the fact that he was born to a bitten, turned walker.
Well, she was already a walker when they gave her the C-section in order to be for him to be birthed. So I'm assuming that maybe later down the episodes that we'll get to see why, what's his actual purpose. Because yeah, he may have been born from a walker, but is he immune to walker bites? Is that the thing? Because since he was born from a walker, will he be immune, or is it just that his blood can turn humans back, you know, zombies back into humans? I don't know, something like that, right? But you know, we don't really know yet until we get to later episodes.
But they also did that in Fear a little bit too. A young girl was not able to turn after she was bitten too. So they kind of already established this kind of
thing with Alicia, right? It was Alicia. She got bit, cut off her arm, had a fever, and then I guess started having hallucinations about turning into a zombie, but she never actually
turned into a zombie.
Yeah, yeah.
So they already kind of established this kind of subject in Fear, so I think they're just rolling with it with the character Laurent. I think they're making him a little more of a Jesus character because they're using the convent and the nuns and whatnot to make him a little more of a Jesus character in the story,
which gives the story a little bit more of the supernatural feel now. Because
yeah, you know, I agree. Yes,
more grounded real world events where there was no cure for the zombie bite. You know, yeah. Once you get bitten, you turn. If you don't get amputated where you were bitten, you know, then you turn. It's all a matter of a time of when will, you know, how quickly or how slowly will you turn to a walker. But it looks like they want to end the story with a cure, but we're probably going to see that later on through the other spinoffs.
I think so. I think you're correct. I think that's going to show up in the Michonne Rick one, because how, you know, Rick got taken away by the junk lady in the helicopter and disappeared. So
or was that group that clandestine governmental group that. I guess they're also in the Fear the Walking Dead series where
right they are.
Yeah, it's still like a little bit of a disconnect as far as like that group, because we see them in the that little short spinoff the World of the Walking Dead,
and then it's called New Hope. It was called New Hope with the
kid. Yeah, that one, and then. And right now for Daryl's series, that you do get a taste of them as well, but they're not announcing that they're from the OCR. I guess they're just an extension of it. Unless you spotted something that I didn't.
I think that the military group that is working with the villain. Well, there's a villainess who's the head of this paramilitary group, and she has a bigger scene in. The series 5 that I just watched. So if you haven't watched it, I won't spoil it. So I'll kind of just downplay it. Well, she shows her sinisterness. She takes over they get to the group that like hiding Daryl and Laurent, and there's a baby crying. And the baby keeps crying throughout her kind of a little bit of dialogue, trying to find out where Laurent is. She doesn't really care about Daryl at all. She only cares about Laurent. And there's a baby, a small baby crying in the background. And she goes to the baby and she takes the baby. And you feel like she's going to kill the baby, like stab it or break its neck or something like that. But she puts the baby kind of sinisterly to her shoulder and the baby starts crying. I don't know if the baby starts crying because... it's to her shoulder, or the fear of it. I think the baby, Yeah, I think the baby can sense this woman is completely evil. So the baby starts crying and then she kind of walks away with the baby. So it doesn't, I think she, it doesn't show her giving the baby back or it doesn't show her keeping the baby, but it's pretty sinister in the scene.
She left you at a hang, left you in a cliffhanger on what she was about to do to the baby.
Correct. So this woman is evil too.
So she, did you get a lot of Negan vibes or more of a, I guess we'll go back to like season two or three but from the governor.
I got the more governor vibes from her. I never thought Negan was evil. I just think he was just a badass and wanted to be a badass. I mean, and that's what he comes off in Dead City too. He doesn't want to be Negan. No, he just wants to be a badass, and that's what he is.
Right, right. When you feel like you were a useless teacher in before the pandemic or the turn, and then you change your identity in order for you to assert some kind of power amongst a group of people, then yeah, you should establish yourself as the one not to be trifled with.
Right.
And that's what Negan is. And you know, he inspired a group, which are not the whispers, but the saviors. And you know, that's how he got his leadership, where if he exude authority and power, that people will follow you.
Exactly. And not to jump around, but Dead City kind of, hey, how you doing out there? Journey, how are you doing? Negan is...
Negan was a scary bastard in the beginning. Yeah,
yeah, he was. And in Dead City, he comes out to one of his so-called generals that I've never seen in the comic book, because I've read of all the comic books. And in The Walking Dead, pops up as the new badass in Dead City. So that's right. They call him the Croate.
It's retcon, right?
Yeah.
we've already strayed away from the source material. So definitely we're an open world, open source universe where now we can add this and that, and now we have nuclear zombies that in France and
yes, maybe, nuclear zombies, correct, that melt like, melt metal and everything,
mutated zombies in New York. It's totally it rings of it reeks of a Resident Evil.
Yes, that's a good analogy. Resident Evil. I agree with that. It's no more George A. Romero. It's Resident Evil. Yes, correct.
I'm happy that they're modernizing the zombie genre. It's a good pace, because you know, having slow, mindless, you know, dead people just being the point of focus for your bad guy. It just you already know how to dispatch, you know, at least one or two of them, or at least a group of 10. But when it comes down to a horde, then yeah, you're fucked. You better run.
Yeah. And that's what I think killed. I'm sorry, jumping around people right out there in podcast land. That's what killed World War Z, because it was a fast running zombie that you really couldn't kill. You only could like run and tell, you know, Brad Pitt found out that they didn't want to go after somebody who was sick.
I didn't read the book, so I'll read.
I guess I'm running this one myself now for a minute. Red, you back?
I'm coming in.
Well, anyways, we lost Red for a second, so I guess you guys got to deal with me for a minute or two. So just let you know that we're talking about the Walking Dead world. Oh, you're back?
Okay. What happened there?
I don't know, but I filled in for you,
Thanks.
Brother.
Thanks.
So again, we're talking about the a Walking Dead world, and we're talking about a combination of Dead City and Daryl Dixon. There's his bike, and so we have some protagonists who was a thief, a pickpocket, who ends up getting to the convent with her sister who dies, and that's how Laurent is born, and she becomes a nun, and she founds found God, and she's still a formidable badass in the protagonist there.
Well, I think they only become what they are because necessity of what her environment is. So yeah, she's the quiet type of person who was a former thief and only became, you know, this silent ninja nun who, because, you know, she needed protection from the rest of the world since the world has gone to shit. And at the same time, her sister, whom was bitten before they went to the convent, you know, was dying, and she had to get birth right there, ends up turning into a zombie. It's more of an origin story for her, and see how she, is molded by the current world. And in Comic Journey, yes, World War Z movie was really following the 28-day formula. Again, I think most of those fast running zombies still have a weakness of getting shot in the head, but, you know, having to run at, I guess, you know, normal human speed, it's hard to hit a moving target. So it's that's why they're harder to kill.
Here's a little bit of things that I picked out of Daryl Dixon is, since it's illegal to own a gun in France, all the guns they have are older muskets with a big ring barrel and rifles from World War II that they got in you know, wherever, museums or whatnot, because there's no like regular firearms like we would have here, like a 45 or a 9mm. No,
there's still, you know, your semi-automatic pistols and such, but you know, nothing huge like what we have here in America as far as, like, you know, automatic rifles and such. You know, but you make do with what you have. Yeah, the citizens of France during that time don't have access to weapons of mass destruction. So muskets was the weapon of choice, or at least.
But I like how they use the muskets in the show. I like that. I mean, that shows that, you know, one bullet, one shot. You got to kill.
Ingenuity and the way it moves story along, because now your shot has to count.
You miss,
it's reloading. Reloading takes time.
Yeah, in this episode, they just fall. They try to get Laurent back. Laurent gets taken by his father, kind of as hostage, and they try to rescue Laurent, and they use one shot and Molotov cocktails in order to get the job done. Daryl's weapon of choice is not his crossbow, but a mace, and he wields it quite well. Legend of Comics, welcome to the show.
Mark, to be fair, we don't have automatic rifles here either, unless you're military or underground ganglord. True, true, true. You'll find access no matter what. So you'll get your hands on something if you really need it. That's, you know, whether or not you're a ganglord or ex-military, you'll find a way to get it
here. Well, if you lived in the South, you could get it easy. It's California that you can't get it. How's that?
Yeah. Just buy it from Nevada across the state, and you should be good. Just hide it. You know, you didn't get that from me.
I didn't hear anything. I don't know any contraband.
We'll have to delete that on the live feed.
Later. I'm a good American citizen.
Since you've seen tonight's episode, so you, mm-hmm. because where I had left off was Daryl
falling through the roof after fighting the villain.
Okay. Was, you know, the last episode, which was last Sunday's, was they kind of have, I was making a deal with the ex-boyfriend on the kid's father, but then they walked away. So in this episode, he manages to swipe the kid and
swipe the kid and hold him hostage, and Daryl goes to rescue them with the resistance.
Resistance. Mark says, I live in the South. You still have to be a ganglord or me. I watched the first 48 many times, and that is true. That is very true.
Okay, enough about guns in America. I think I opened a can of shit right there, but sorry guys, I didn't mean to.
No, don't worry. It's open forum. But yeah, because I'm coughing.
So Lawrence, in the episode that you've seen, episode four, he has to run away from all the shit that's happening and the fighting of them trying to get Daryl. So he's by himself, but only thing he has in his head is to go to the Eiffel Tower. And he goes to the Eiffel Tower. Hey, K-pop junkie, how are you? He goes to the Eiffel Tower to, I guess, look at the picture of his mom, because she took the picture they has is at the Eiffel Tower. And the Eiffel Tower is blocked off with a whole bunch of sandbags and some barriers. And you know what's behind the barriers is a whole bunch of zombies. And they come at him. And Daryl and his cohort, the young lady, is fighting them off, trying to save Laurent. But Laurent then gets kidnapped by the dad and taken away. So that's where it happens.
CJ says that they should bring Myrtle back from the dead to save the Frenchies. It is.
Myrtle is a Walking Dead, remember?
Yeah, he's – well, no, because he's completely dead.
Daryl did him in.
If we can retcon or bring another dimensional Myrtle, you know, then maybe it'll work out. You know what?
I did a cosplay as Myrtle.
We'll have to see that.
I did it with the knife and the hook hand and everything. Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. But if Myrtle were to be in the Daryl show, he would be the drug lord with the machine guns because he has the meth, and that meth is also made by Jesse Pinkman. If you go back to the second season of Walking Dead, they go through Merle's motorcycle and they show the blue sky,
right?
Yeah. So there's a little connection of Walking Dead and Breaking Bad. It's through meth and Merle's meth. Let's see. Mark says guns and Walking Dead go hand in hand. Yes.
Yes.
Because there's end the world preppers waiting patiently for the end of the world and for zombies to appear in order for them to fire those off.
Absolutely. I agree tenfold. I watched some of those prepper shows and I was amazed of what they collected. You know, I collect comic books and action figures and they collect whiskey and firearms. So
and
yeah.
Kids and all sorts of you would say it's useless for now, but when it comes down to the end of society, not the end of the earth, but just the end of the fall of any kind of government or any kind of authority, then yeah, you would find those more useful dead. Is Daryl show after the final season? Yes, but we still haven't figured out where the timeline kind of sits. So, you know, stay tuned for that.
I think more will be revealed when Fear comes out on the 22nd of October, because it's the Fear's final season. So I'm assuming that. Oh God, I just had a brain fart. Who's the lead character in Fear now?
The chick?
No. Morgan. Sorry. Morgan's left the group and he's going back to Alexandria. And I think somehow he runs into Michonne and Rick, and that's when Rick and Michonne show starts. I'm just guessing.
He's saying that, trying not to laugh here, but your injury is because of the cosplay.
No. I as I told you, I had a cyst growing in my hand, and instead of growing out, it grew wide, and it moved all the bones in my hand. So they had to take the cyst out and put the bones back together.
But we should just amputate and give you a hook.
call me Merle.
All right. K-pop Katie says she needs to catch up on six seasons and two of the other series. Yes. But
I agree.
You could also enjoy Daryl Dixon as it is.
Yeah. Daryl Dixon's a kind of standalone. Yes, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, there's a few flashbacks here and there, but it's more the postseason of the last Walking Dead.
Yeah. Yeah. You can jump into Daryl right now. you can just stream it and watch all five episodes and be right with us on the whole thing without any really background on Fear or The Walking Dead or New Hope or even Dead City. Yeah. I think Dead City, you could probably jump into it too, but you would not really know Negan and Maggie as well as, like, say, somebody who'd watch the whole seasons of The Walking Dead. But that's up to you, because it's a kind of completely different thing, because Maggie's son gets kidnapped by the Croate, and they go after him in Manhattan, which is an island, and they have to navigate a little bit of water to get over there.
Carl Journey says, you should feed the zombies the meth. Actually, they might have, if they're, that turns them into a, I guess,
World War Z zombies and run fast.
Yeah. Mark says, preppers probably pray for a zombie apocalypse to happen. That's legit. That is legit.
I've watched some of those prepper shows, and they said things like that. Yeah, they believe it to be happening.
Are you sure it was a cyst and not a zombie bite?
I wish it was a zombie bite. Yeah, but no, it was a. That's funny. You made me laugh. Thank you. I'm not permitted to say hello, K-pop. Oh, you can say hello. Comic Journey says hello, K-pop.
Well, since we, I guess, not ad nauseum, but where do you think this season is going to take us, as far as, like, since we only have roughly one episode left of Daryl Dixon? What are you expecting
to finish out? I'm expecting Daryl to not leave Europe. I'm expecting him to end up in a love triangle with the nun, and Daryl not coming back. That's what I get. And they're going to probably, if it goes well in the ratings, Daryl will not stay in France. He'll go to Italy or Germany and whatnot, and conquer Europe MacArthur did.
So you're saying that maybe two or three seasons spent in Europe and then had that bigger reunion with Rick?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think. I could be wrong. At the end of the season, he could get his boat and head back and meet Rick at the ladies fish at? What's that area called? I'm a Walking Dead fan, but I'm dropping balls
I know what you're talking about. It's the beachfront.
But it's not called the beach. It's called something else. Yeah, and I'm dropping it for some super fan. I suck. I guess being on the podcast talking, you get absent-minded being on the mic.
It happens to the best of us, really. When you're actually have to make content and thinking at the same time, it's definitely, you'll hit a dam. On that information.
Yeah, well, I just hit one on a couple things today. So sorry out there in podcast land. I'll do better next week. You can send all your bad comments to Evil Fett, okay? Don't send it to Villainous Red. But so far, Red, in the four episodes that you've watched and Dead City, let's give it a comic book rating and we'll go from there. What you think of Dead City first?
Well, for Dead City, I think it's a solid 9-0 for me. I mean, there's still a lot of holes in the story that needs to be filled for me, but I think it's a good start.
I think we lost Red for a minute. He said a 9-0.
Hello. One check.
Yep. We're here back. Red said it's a 9 for a Dead City for him. I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to say a 7-2. The Croate still's not villainous enough for me. I can't go on just the zombies alone to carry the story. I need a bad guy to carry the story, because villains carry the story. That's why we call us the C-List Villains here at C-List Villains. So, let's go to Daryl Dixon. What are you giving it so far?
9-6 so far. I've been impressed with the story so far. And I would like to see a bigger reunion show with the main cast, but I don't think we're gonna get that for another two or three seasons. Yeah, but you know, maybe the creators, maybe Scott M. Gimple, they're gonna have something planned, and we'll probably get to see it next Comic Con.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll be in Hall H because me and you will be there because we're gonna work together to get those tickets, right, Red? Well, I'm gonna give it a 9.62. I think it's a good start. I think Daryl is a great character. Sorry they didn't put him in the comic book till like I think 100 or 105. It's good. The villain is he's a badass because he, like I said, he took two bullets and he's walking without a limp. So I don't think I could do that. I can't even do nothing with a stupid cyst in my hand. So so he's tougher than me. So and the girl, the leader of the paramilitary group, she's coming off to be pretty sinister too. So there's two evil characters in this one. Again with the zombies. So
Maybe it'll take two bad people to take down Daryl Dixon. You know, maybe that's what it'll take. At least take him down a peg or two on the good guy level.
You know, Daryl Dixon never. I know he's a good guy, but he was always kind of a stone cold Steve Austin character. He wasn't good nor was he bad. He was just in the moment, and I think that's why
you're constantly anti-hero, but right. Became a hero.
Yeah, so I think that's why the people loved him because you know he's Stone Cold Steve Austin, and everybody loves Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Comic Journey scores as a 5.5 until they bring Myrtle back, maybe as a flashback. That could happen because they did it probably season 4.
I think season 4 they killed him off.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it will be nice to see Merle as a flashback come back.
Let me talk about the actor that plays Merle and right off the back, I can't remember his real name, but he's a little tiny guy. I mean, I'm 6'1" and he's like here, but he's an arrogant SOB and not a very nice guy. There's a lot of bad guys that go to cons that work in cons. Lou Ferrigno is probably top of the list of the biggest jackasses there. But the guy who plays Merle is a close second to Lou Ferrigno of being a jackass at a con. He's an arrogant piece of you know what. And if he's at a con, I'll stay on the other side of the building
He was casted opposite of Sylvester Stallone in Cliffhanger. He was also casted opposite of Tom Cruise in Days of Thunder.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and he's also Yondu, which is a character that they screwed up in Guardians of the Galaxy because Yondu didn't whistle a arrow. He actually shot an arrow. He was an archer. So
some things needed a little bit of update, and you know, it made the story work, and I guess when you have to pass down something to Kraglin, then you know it's an easy
right. I get it. I just sometimes I'm a little bit of purist when it comes to comic books, and I guess that's why the MCU is always kind of hurts my belly when I watch it.
Blasphemy! Lou Ferrigno can do no wrong. He's dead. He's allowed to be an asshole.
No, he's just ornery. He's just ornery. At a con, I don't know if you ever met him at a con or even walked by him at a con. He'll yell at you for looking at him. And I mean, I know he can't really yell, but he'll grunt and point and just an ornery character. Yeah.
He's the Hulk. What do you expect? You don't want him angry.
I guess not. He is a large man. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, does anyone out there know the character that played Merle? I mean, his real life name. At the top, I know that's three I screwed up on tonight.
It's all right, dude. Come on.
I'm trying to ask
Google machine there for you.
Yeah, last ask Google machine.
Let's see. Yeah, where is it? Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker. Yes, that's it. What a jackass he is. And he was in Back to the Future as the bad guy in Back to the Future, wasn't he?
Oh.
No, Clerks. Clerks. He was the mall guy in Clerks, the bad guy in
Mallrats.
Mallrats. Mallrats. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. CJ's not going to let you off the hook on this, on the Lou Ferrigno thing. So you better.
Sorry, CJ. Have you ever met him at a con and you know, a lot of people like walk by him and they don't want to pay $50 to take a photograph. So they take a snapshot walking by. He will physically jump over the thing and throw things at you and give you the finger. He's just an ornery guy. old pretzel tricks.
Would you like a chocolate covered pretzel? The one where he sticks it up his ass and then
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, he's the guy that eats the shit pretzels and Clerks. Yes. Or Mallrats. Was it Mallrats or Chasing Amy? I feel that those three are more connected and more than ever. I think it was mostly Mallrats though.
So let's ask everybody who's listening tonight. Have you guys been watching The Walking Dead, or are you guys dead on The Walking Dead? I'll put that out there.
Burnt out.
Yeah. Are you waiting for Mallrats? There we go.
Mallrats.
Thank you, K-pop.
It's all part of the Lou Ferrigno's charm. And maybe he's more friendlier to the ladies and children.
When I think he's more friendlier to the $50 for the photograph. That's more friendly.
Hey, he's got to earn his money. And if you're there at 10 feet away sneaking a snapshot of him, yeah, I would be kind of upset. But that's, you know, that's how he earns his money now.
Okay. All right. Well, I just know he's a very ornery guy.
He played Claire's dad, who was the game show host.
Yes, correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's been dead for herbs as far as like The Walking Dead is concerned.
Oh, well, I think for a lot of people, The Walking Dead's been dead. I think that's why Robert Kirkman is not as a big contributor as Scott M. Gimple. Oh, I digress. Let me tell you my Robert Kirkman, and if hopefully I could find the photograph. I was at Disneyland and staying at the Grand California, and Robert Kirkman and his family was staying in the room across. And I seen him in the hallway, and I didn't want to bother him because I'm not one of those kind of guys that walk up to people and want a picture or an autograph. But we were eating dinner at the Napa Rose, which is a restaurant inside the Grand California on the bottom level. And his table, I was sitting back to him. He was back behind me. And I was telling the people that I was with, that's Robert Kirkman. And he turned around and he said, yes, I'm Robert Kirkman. And he was with his three children and his wife. They went to Disneyland. He took some pictures with me, shook my hand, and he was a very nice guy. So kudos for Robert Kirkman. He's the anti-Lou Ferrigno or Michael Rooker.
I mean, it's family time, and your excitement, he sensed it. So, you know, he's still loyal to the fan, so he'll give you whatever you seek. But definitely, you know, yeah, it's good that you gave him his space. But yet, you know, once he heard the excitement, then he came to you, which is very nice of him. He's just misunderstood. He won Mr. Olympia after losing twice to Schwarzenegger. He has a complex.
Okay. Well, yeah, that sums it all up for complex. I'm all for a complex.
Everybody has
issues. My Robert Kirkman photograph.
Everybody has layers. Some layers stink. Some layers are bad. Some layers are good, you know. It's layers, you know.
This is my picture with
Ezekiel? The king,
Ezekiel, and the voice of Cyborg the same day. Let me find my Robert Kirkman so everyone out there in podcast land doesn't say I'm a liar. I'm trying to do that and talk at the same time, which is difficult for me.
If you attend cons, you will never be called a liar for not meeting these celebrities.
Well, I just want everyone out there in podcast land to know that that what I say is true.
Check one, check two. Is he still there, bud? Hello? Everybody still there? Everybody in the chat? Or did you lose me?
Because I had a not so much. What? I'm here.
Okay.
I was going to let everyone know the picture shows me with a black mustache, which at one time I had.
I won't question why it's black. That's I'm going to leave that alone.
Well, I used to have dark hair. Now that I'm old, I'm all white.
And you have German roots. That's all I know. That
no one's seen that. No one's seen that. Well, I did that out for comedy, just kind of like Mel Brooks.
I get you. I just don't want to be flagged. from YouTube and Facebook, where we're getting all this kind of content. It's just
just a joke.
well, I guess we'll be back next Sunday as far as like another review, maybe more of Ahsoka as well, and finish off Daryl Dixon.
And I would like to talk next week on some new comic books that came out that are quite interesting. That if people out there are interested in reading or collecting or just looking at that, they might want to take a look at Evil Fett's choice of the day, I would say, on a C-list Sunday, if that's so okay with the people out there.
I'm completely good with that. You want to recommend some reads? That'll be perfect. That'll be great. I'm going to recommend something right now. My buddy John McCarthy is actually has his Kickstarter for this werewolf horror one-shot comic.
Oh, it's cool. So
definitely look it up. Where's the title? If I can get my
the story? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. So it's more of a one-shot about of a werewolf, and John McCarthy is the writer of I can't remember the other book, but it's like Starship Troopers.
I see.
Yeah, but he's really great into sci-fi, so definitely check out this Kickstarter. You know, give him a like, take a look at his stuff. Endangered is a book that he wrote, and you know, definitely look into it. It's good stuff. And then also, let me pull up another screen. Well, you guys have you captivated by our good looks here.
two of the ugliest guys in history on screen today.
Hey, it works out for me. All right. So our friends at, hold on. Where's my screen? Damn it. Where's my screen? Where'd you go?
All right. Where did it go?
All right. So our friend Randy Daniel Flint, he has a his store Snapping Turtle is having a sale. Right now is buy order 3 get 1 print free.
Oh, that's great.
So definitely check out his stuff as well. He does work with Jimbo Salgado and a couple other artists, and then he's looking to, you know, liquidate some of his stuff. So definitely check out this thing at Snapping Turtle Gallery. All right.
It looks cool. Good price too.
Yeah. Well, again, if you guys could get it, it's a huge help to the community. If not, just give them a like, you know, tell your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to let the artist and the writers know that we support them. Because sometimes things get lost up into Superman and Batman, and we forget who drew it, who inked it, and who wrote it.
Yeah, without artists and writers, definitely there wouldn't be a story at all. And Lou Ferrigno is a national treasure. You do not.
I apologize. Respect. I'll never say anything bad about Lou again.
Ferrigno, at least not to Comic Journey. He's the only actor to play both Sinbad and Hercules. That's a very large range as an actor. You know what? That playing two gods in the span of
Sinbad is not a god. Sinbad was a pirate.
Okay.
Sinbad wasn't a god. And Hercules wasn't a full god. He's a half god.
Okay. All right. Well, still, I guess you know, major, I'd say, what's the word I'm looking for? Major
characters. IPs?
Yeah, not IPs, but, you know, characters from old time stories or even, you know, from tales from long, long ago. You know, he played those two. So definitely do not disrespect Lou Ferrigno.
And since we're talking about Sinbad, I know there's a lot of young viewers out there that's not as old as I am, but go back and watch Harryhausen's Sinbads. I'm sure there's somewhere on Netflix that you can stream. They're fantastic, and they stand the test of time. Ray Harryhausen is a great, great director and animator.
All right, guys. So thank you for showing up and talking with us and you know, having input in our discussion about The Walking Dead and other things zombie-related.
Zombie-related?
We're going to plan on doing more of this stuff on Sundays, you know, to look for that. Usually probably around the same time, depending on if there's a good game on football, Sunday Night Football. So, yeah, look for that. Plus, we'll probably follow up after Luke does his sale. So definitely.
You know, absolutely.
We'll get the schedule here.
And don't forget, people out there in podcast land, that the C-List Villains, cultivator of cosplay and comic book culture. So we all thank you for your time and your effort to come watch us today. And thank you for participating.
Did you know Lou Ferrigno played the Hulk?
I knew he played the Hulk the guy who played The Courtship of Eddie's Munster. I forgot his name. See, I'm screwing up tonight really bad. I knew all these people by heart, but now I can't even say their names.
All right, please have the stream dedicated to Lou Ferrigno. Now you're asking for too much, TJ. You're asking for too much.
You might have Luke or E-Man do that. I can't say anything nice about him, so I'm sorry, buddy.
Did you mention he was deaf? Yes. All right, sign us off. Sign us off, Mike.
Well, I want to say thank you to Villainous Red and to all the C-List Villains fans. It's Evil Fett. You can get me on all the social media except the X at Evil Fett Cosplay. And if you need some commission work, let me know. I'm happy to do it. And if I see you at a con, or you see me at a con, don't feel embarrassed. Come up and say hi to me, because I'd love to see and shake hands and
yeah, take you're photos no, with you. You're no Lou Ferrigno, so you will be friendly.
I will be friendly. I'm definitely friendly. I give cards out and stickers out and all kinds of tchotchkes. So, yeah, come out to me, and I'm signing off for Villainous Red. It's Evil Fett, and thank you for being a C-List Villain fan. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the C-List Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at clistvillains@gmail.com.